The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
For the next few minutes, I'd like to explore a reflective practice with you. And I'd like to encourage you to stay in a contemplative space by leaving your eyes closed during this practice. But feel free to adjust your posture if you're uncomfortable or if you feel like you need to get into a more comfortable position. So this reflective practice will be a way of exploring a theme or topic from within the meditative space. So what I'd like you to do is to call to mind a time in the last week or so when you felt a sense of struggle. And I'll give you a few moments, a minute or so, to clarify to yourself what that time is, to actually choose one. Allow yourself to connect with this experience or event that happened in which you felt some kind of struggle. Allow yourself to connect to it fully, recalling details of where you were, what you were doing, who you were with, and what was happening. But try to, in this recollection, stick to the actual experiences that happened as opposed to your thoughts about it. So just allowing yourself to recall what happened. Any moods or emotions you were feeling. And as you do this recalling of this event, kind of reconstructing it in your imagination, I'd like you to keep track of what your experience is right now. How is this impacting your experience in the present moment? Are you noticing any physical changes, contractions or pressures or tension or lightness or hardness? Perhaps a change in your heart rate or some perspiration. And keep track too of any emotional experiences that you are experiencing right now as a result of calling to mind this event. If your mind wanders off, just come back to your imagination of the experience and your present moment experience as it is impacted by that recollection. See if you can bring some interest to this exploration. Looking at it as an opportunity to learn about yourself. Seeing if you can let go of self-judgment or criticism, resistance. Just staying with the recollection and noticing, how does it impact you, body and mind? Notice if the impact on your present moment experience changes as you do this exploration. Is there some aspect of this experience that you can learn from? Something in this exploration that might support your ability to not struggle so much with this kind of a situation in the future? Your present moment experience may provide some guidance in this area. So keep track of what's happening here and now during this reflection. How might mindfulness practice support this situation? How might a Dharma perspective support this situation? And notice still, again, how calling to mind Dharma themes or mindfulness practice impacts your present moment experience. For the next few minutes, I'd like you to let go of the active recollection of that situation and turn your attention towards any questions that you might have that would support your understanding of the situation from a Dharma perspective. Any Dharma questions, any mindfulness questions? I'm going to give you a minute or so to refine the questions. Allow yourself to see if you can come to a core question. So welcome, especially to those of you who are new. And partly the reflection I did tonight is a kind of a demonstration, hopefully it was a demonstration of how one can think about something mindfully. That's something that we don't often practice, thinking mindfully. And so this was a way to explore something which might have some charge to it. In this case, I asked you to focus on something that there might be some charge to, and to allow yourself to call it to mind and keep track of what's going on for you in the present moment. To just stay with that experience and just keep track of what's happening here and now. So I'm curious, were you able to do that? Was this something that you got a sense of how you could think about something with mindfulness. And I'd like to get some feedback too on this, if anybody would like to say something on this. What happened for you when I suggested that you keep track of your present moment experience while you were thinking about something that had a charge for you?
The incident that I was holding in mind was one where I was sitting at the desk in front of the computer, so that I kept on being surprised by the difference in sitting here like this and what it felt to be sitting in front of the, you know, working on the computer. And
so say more. Do you mean in your imagination of...
I was putting myself in the position where I had my incident, and I was sitting in front of the computer. And it was very interesting that I could feel my body and I could feel the cushion that I'm sitting on, and at the same time I was sitting in front of the computer. So that had a maybe an entertainment value of having my body seem to be in two places at once.
Uh-huh.
Or very quickly one and then the other. And it was, I did not get into the incident I was thinking about. I didn't lose myself in that because I can feel my butt on the cushion. I can feel myself here. I was able to experience it a bit, but it wasn't as all engrossing as if I were there.
Mm-hmm. And this is one of the aspects of this reflective, the qualities of this reflection, that essentially it does give us some distance from the situation so that we can reflect a little bit on how that situation impacts us. So any other comments? Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So in response to the instruction of observing what was happening physically, the incident was a negotiation with a family member who's quite difficult. And dealing with her is always stressful. And in the moment, I could feel my breathing rate increase and my heart rate increase slightly. So it's interesting how we fabricate our physical sensations. And I've been paying attention to fabrication of late. And it was just... and then I got to name and form, because how we frame the concepts that we bring to the situation determine what we feel about it. And by paying attention to the way in which we frame it, we are almost determining our reaction to it.
That's very beautifully said. That's really beautiful. That's exactly true. That essentially our perspective or our view on our experience really determines how we are going to respond to the experience. That's beautiful. Is that something that you've been exploring in the last while, or is it something that came to you more here and now? Or
it's all in
the field.
Dependent co-arising. Follow the dots.
And when you reflected on what you might have to learn, was there anything that came up for you at that point?
Well, it's what I said, the way in which we conceptualize this,
yes,
the labels that we attach are very much related to how we fabricate our physical and mental and verbal realities.
And when you framed that and saw that, did it impact your Here and now experience.
Oh, yeah, because my heart rate went back down.
Uh-huh.
Greater absorption and back to where I was before you gave the test.
Uh-huh. Well, that's beautiful. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Anyone else? Yeah, over here, behind you.
As I was reflecting on the situation, I could feel in the moment, as he mentioned, the breathing rate going up slightly, and then, and continuing to reflect, I was able to achieve resolution. I was able to achieve resolution to it, and then I could feel a calm and almost like the meditative state we were in earlier. Uh-huh. And I've actually achieved a resolution to it, and I'm in the moment. And so at the moment, and therefore I felt a calm, just as we were the same type of meditative state we were in previously before, I mean, during the silent meditation.
So in the resolution, was it a resolution in the moment, or was it a sense of a resolution for the situation?
The resolution to the entire situation.
To the entire situation.
For achieving growth within myself and a calm,
mm-hmm.
So that that's no longer a struggle anymore.
Oh, that's wonderful. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else? Yeah.
So I was able to remember the physical sensations very well during that situation. But the fact that I was sitting here instead of actually there, and I was actually sitting outside on a very nice day and there were birds chirping and everything. But because I was sitting here this time, what I realized is during that actual moment, I was using all the pleasant physical sensations to not really be so aware of the emotional things that were going on. So when I sat here, I felt like I could really identify more. I mean, I knew I was uncomfortable at the moment, but I could identify the emotions a lot better sitting here because I didn't have that distraction of the pleasant
the
physical.
Yeah. Oh, that's actually a beautiful insight to see that. You know, that... And that's I'm hearing all these great reasons why this is such a good exercise. You know, that you were, noticed that uncomfortableness in that situation, but coming into it here and now, you could understand it a little more clearly because you weren't pulled to all of the other pleasant sensations. So that's
beautiful. And unlike her, it's not resolved yet, but at least I can, like, look at it a little bit more for what it is, really. So,
oh, thank you. Yeah. Irv.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Something that has been implicit in me for a long time is now becoming increasingly explicit. There are two me's. One me is that person that doesn't struggle. He just lets things be. And when he does that, it's absolutely wonderful. In every way, physically, emotionally, mentally, the experience is that if something comes up that's disturbing, I can become aware of it and let it go. That's that one person. Then is the other person, who I guess I could call a nudge. He stands outside and watches this person, and if he isn't going fast enough, he starts taking over, urging him, pushing him, and the first person becomes helpless increasingly. And then the other person takes over and fails completely because success can only come from the first person. And this has been going on for a long, long time. I'm becoming more aware of it, And I like to say it's becoming more explicit. Somehow I'm not doing anything, but this is the power of the first person to become aware, increasingly, of what the second person is doing.
Yes.
And not do anything about it.
Yes, exactly. You don't actually have to, you know, to use your language, you know, that that first person is then essentially becoming the observer of the second, that first experience of the just being able to see things, to be aware of things, can just be aware of this second type of experience in your mind, the second person, as you call it. And it's simply another experience.
Well, it's a little frustrating, I must admit, because that second person is hanging around an awful lot. And the first person, in order to succeed, can't do anything.
Uh-huh, yeah.
Except the most powerful thing at all, and that is just to be who he is and let go any response to the other person.
In fact, that first person you talk about, I would look at that as being the witness, in a sense. It's kind of a witnessing capacity that we have. And it can witness anything. And it can witness this nudge kind of, you know, go faster, do better, you know, be more, get it right, that whatever that. It can just witness that. And, you know, what I've found in my own experience, this is, I'm not sure if this will be completely relevant to your situation, but it might be. So when I feel that kind of second energy coming up of to complain, to reject, to fix, to control, it's already kind of coming into being in a way. You know, there it is, it's there. And if there's a movement to try to stop that or fix it or change it, it ends up being a kind of an aversive reaction. It's kind of pushing down on it. And what I've discovered for myself is that as that thing is coming into being, there's a way that the witness, the mindfulness can kind of meet that energy. And so there's that energy of that nudginess that's coming in, and there's an energy behind it. I mean, it's like there's a momentum behind that experience. That there's a pattern or habit that we might have in that direction, and there's a kind of a momentum that pattern or habit has. And if the mindfulness can just kind of meet that energy, it can like ride on the back of that energy. And it's to me, it feels like when the mindfulness meets that experience, if it can kind of almost transform that energy from being something that is, you know, causing a struggle to something that allows that pattern to live its life and ultimately dissipate. And it feels to me, it feels like an Aikido move, because you're taking the energy of that habit or pattern, and it's just a subtle, like, quarter turn redirecting the energy through being mindful of it. And then we don't have to do anything with it. It moves it in a more skillful direction through that mindfulness.
Let me tell you my experience.
Mm-hmm.
And that is, the more the first person, the person who does nothing, attempts to suppress that nudging, that is exactly what the nudger wants. That's the power that he has. If he can just incite that other person to be not who he is, but to become more like the nudger. The power of the nudger is to do nothing, is to sit back and not even witness him, but just to be who he is.
Mm-hmm.
And that defeats the other person.
Mm-hmm.
He can't get his way.
Uh-huh.
So it's, if anything, it's energy, but a negative energy.
Oh, okay.
It's the energy of doing
the doing nothing. Uh-huh.
And there's tremendous energy in that.
Yeah.
And the only one, at least for me, that's successful.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that energy of non-doing with that mindfulness is very powerful. Oh, thank you. Thank you, Irv. I'd also like to... Oh, go ahead. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
This exercise actually was pretty painful for me because it actually... I started going back in my mind. The thing I was struggling with has been an ongoing struggle, so I started going back all the way to my childhood, on where the struggle began. And I actually remembered things I had not thought about in many years. So it was like a series of images that came up, one after the other, a lot.
Now, is that something you were doing consciously, or did it happen?
It happened.
Okay, so that's part of what happens here, too. Mm-hmm. That, so you're paying attention to the situation and observing what's happening. And what's happening in the present moment is that memories are arising. Mm-hmm. And that can be painful, as you noticed. Mm-hmm. Were you able to stay with the feeling here and now?
Yes. I was also, I've been, in fact, right before I came. It was difficult to come because I've been feeling tense, and I felt the tense, how tense I was, and I felt stiff, and I did have an increase in heartbeat when I remember the struggle so much as when I started going back, and that was unexpected.
Yeah.
For me.
Yeah, and so were you able to feel like there was something you could learn in the exploration?
I think I'm in that process.
Uh huh.
I think that it was. I think so because that was actually. Something did happen, but I don't know how to explain it. It kind of enlightened me a bit. I did gain some enlightenment, and it kind of lost a bit of its power because of that a little bit. I kind of was kind of in the middle of it when we... You know, when we stopped the exercise, but it was interesting. I don't know that I can put it quite in words, but exactly what something kind of
was there. And I'll just this may not be what happened, but I'm just going to ask. So sometimes when in sitting in the contemplative space and seeing the kind of the history, essentially, kind of seeing the pattern repeating itself over time, we start to see, even if we might start to see that this is, this is just a pattern of causes and conditions that have kind of built up over time. And it's not so much, it's not so personal in a way. It's more that it's just who I am now because of all of this stuff that's happened. And so there can be kind of an understanding of kind of cause and effect that allows a little bit of loosening around the...
That's it, loosening, a little bit of loosening. That's it. Yeah.
So did you reflect on questions?
Yes. What can I do with this? What's going on exactly? I felt there was something helpful there, but I couldn't quite tell. That some clarity that might help me to overcome this, or at least the struggle to become easier.
So, I would suggest that partly. The answer lies in allowing yourself to just be with the experience, including the thoughts that come up, and to be with it and to be to be witness to how those thoughts then impact you here and now. You know, to keep coming back to your present moment experience, because the suffering of our experience is created here and now. You know, we think a lot of times, like particularly in a situation like this, when there's such a history, we often think that we are kind of carrying this bag of suffering with us, and it's there with us all the time. To some extent, it's there with us all the time in that there's a proclivity towards it. You know, there's a kind of, we might call it a rut in the mind. I think I talked about this rut last week. Now, there's a rut in the mind where, you know, if the ball drops into that rut, then we are in that pattern again. But that rut itself isn't, it's not necessarily active all the time. It gets activated through triggers. And what we start to see is that activation of that pattern happens here and now. And the suffering that we experience is being created here and now through reactions that are coming up in the present moment to things that are happening. Now, those things may be memories, you know, that we remember something and then the feeling of that memory gets created here and now. And then the pattern of that emotion gets revived. But to begin to see that our suffering is created in the present moment gives us the direction of how to work with these things. That the way to work with them is the understanding in the present moment of what is happening. You know, to look at that experience in the present moment. It's like the way out is through, in a way. You know, there's not a. We'd like to be able to sidestep it. We'd like to be able to somehow tie it all in a package and put it aside and not have to look at it again. But particularly with some of these really powerful patterns, the way out is through. I think this is very similar to what Irv is doing. You know, basically, to be with the experience of the pattern over and over and over again. With that very non-judgmental, receptive mindfulness.
I guess that's what I'm, one of the reasons I came here. because I can't seem to, when the feeling comes up, it's this huge emptiness that I don't know what to do with. Mm. And that's what I'm trying to find out, how to sit with it. How to go through it.
Yeah. Now, there are times when something is really overwhelming. You know, if we feel like in that, so you said kind of a huge emptiness, you know, if that feeling of that huge emptiness overwhelms your ability to be mindful of it, then you need to use some skillful means to redirect your attention for a time. You know, just pay attention to your hands, to the hearing, to something that allows you to stay present and not get swept away. But if you can be with the feeling, if you can just be with it, that's the place where a lot of powerful transformation will happen. So yeah, it's just to encourage you there, and also to not feel like, you know, it's a failure if you feel like you have to put it aside. You know, I've had times in my practice where there was something that was overwhelming, a particular pattern that had a really deep rut to it, and if I got anywhere near that pattern, I'd just be stuck in that emotion over and over again. And at some point I realized trying to bring mindfulness to it actually just got me right back into the pattern over and over again. And so I realized that when I saw the pattern, over time I really got familiar with the pattern and could watch it when it came up and I could acknowledge it. Yep, there you are. I see you, anger. Yep, there you are. And this is not the time to pay attention to you. So put it aside and be with something else. As I said, you know, if it's overwhelming, to turn your attention elsewhere. Hearing, feet on the ground. And what for me unfolded in that situation, I actually made a bargain with myself. I said, well, I'll pay attention to this particular anger, because it was a specific anger at a particular person. When that person appeared in my mind, I would just, you know, go through the roof. And so whenever I noticed that person appearing in my mind and noticed that movement towards the anger, I would really just acknowledge, yep, I see you, this is not the time, and I'll pay attention to you when my mindfulness gets stronger. So I kind of made a bargain with that part of me. And, you know, what I noticed over time, just through that practice of meeting it with that just simple, yep, I see you, and this is not the time. Very, very gentle. I see you, it's not the time. I see you, it's not the time. What I started noticing is that particular pattern of anger began arising less often. So, and, you know, originally it would be every, you know, every week or so I'd have a bout of this anger. And then it was, you know, every few weeks. And then it got longer and longer between these bouts of anger. And then one day, the thought of him arose in my mind, of this person arose in my mind, and I thought, wow, you know, I haven't felt that anger in a long time. And it didn't come up, even with him being in my mind. And it hasn't come up since. So somehow, the process of just meeting it, letting it go, meeting it, letting it go, acknowledging it, recognizing it, and letting it go, had that ability to also transform it. Even though I never really had to much, you know, turn my attention and, yep, okay, I'm really going to pay attention to you. I could just meet it and let it go, meet it and let it go. And it transformed itself through, I don't know how it did that. I mean, I wasn't there when it did it. It just did it. And so, you know, this is one thing that, you know, I've seen in my own experience different ways that transformation happens. And this is one way that we can really just meet something. Now, that meeting and putting aside, it was a very non-reactive putting aside. It was not a, you know, I hate you, I can't be with you. It's more like, oh, okay, I see you. You do your thing. I'm going to turn my attention someplace else. So it wasn't trying to repress it. It was kind of more like allowing it to be, but just putting my attention elsewhere. And so that process allowed it to wear away. And I've also seen times when the really meeting and really being with had the transformative power also. So, you know, they both will have some impact. So it's not necessarily, you don't have to look at it as, well, you know, I can't be with this, so I'll have to just, you know, feel like I'm a failure about this. It doesn't have to work that way. At least in my experience, you know, it can be this transformation underground. But I think there was a key to the initial recognize, acknowledge, I see you, and turning the attention elsewhere. So to stay mindful allowed the pattern to not be reinforced. Staying mindful with something else in my experience allowed the pattern to not be reinforced. And over time, it just eventually kind of wore itself out. You know? Mm-hmm. Oh, go ahead.
I was just going to say that today was really, I've been sort of working on studying this and work in meditation for the last few weeks now. And today was the first time that one of these triggers came up. And it just, in conversation, someone said something that, and I just was like, irritated. And I was like, oh, hello, irritation. Uh-huh. Let's set you over here just for a minute so I can get back to my conversation. And It was just gone. I mean, it was fantastic. So,
you know, but, great. I'm so happy.
So I, you know, but again, you know, what I was thinking of during our meditation now was the was something else that had happened on Tuesday where I really overreacted. But we're talking about these deep ruts, and you know, the interesting thing was it was something that I overreacted to, caught it, tried to fix, I mean, not fix it, but tried to kind of, you know, go, oh, okay, what, you know, why'd this happen? Why'd I get all, you know, crazy? And, you know, and I realized that there was a subsequent beating that I was kind of giving myself for, for, it's like, oh yeah, great. I caught it, even though it was a little late, I caught it. Dummy, what are you doing? You know, and so in this meditation, I was actually able to realize that there's some. I was doing a little bit more collateral, you know, damage in the process. So and then I started getting into realizing what was the rut, and it was due to some attachments that I actually had kind of created for myself in this particular environment. So it was really great moment there. So.
Great. I'm glad to hear that. It sounds like that there has been some learning going on. So first,
thank you.
and then Irv.
Something. The issue that I was meditating on was not a profound issue, but as you were talking just in the last few minutes, I've had a situation that keeps popping up in my mind, and I know it's going to sound quite emotional. About a year and a half ago, I live in Boulder Creek in the Santa Cruz Mountains, and about a year and a half ago, I was driving at night, and a car coming my way, car behind me, a woman walked into the side of my car, and I killed her. She died instantly. And I went to Kaiser to see a therapist. I was ruled not to be at fault. But I realized that over the last year and a half, I've been able to, it goes away, you know, and then it comes back. And I realize in this meditation tonight that I haven't been dealing with it that way. It's sort of almost this thing that has had a life of its own. And I was telling a friend, what makes it even more interesting is that when I go into town, I live about 4 miles outside of town, and I come driving back. This woman had 3 adult daughters, and they put a cross up on the post. So it's almost like it's my existential curse, you know, in the sense that every time I drive by there, I see this cross with flowers on it. But I guess my point is that it's one of those things that it's been sort of loose, you know, it's just been sort of hanging around. And I'll be driving, or I'll be going for a walk or something, and there, I don't think there's a moment, a day, that it doesn't enter my mind. So you give me some clues, you know, in terms of maybe how to work with it. It doesn't bother me so much anymore as it does just that it does come up. It's like a fleeting moment, you know, like,
yeah.
Oh, geez, you know, and then it goes away.
So it's that oh, geez, that is what to pay attention to.
Yeah.
Because probably that moment will, I mean, it's like every time you drive on that stretch of road, my guess is the memory will come up.
Oh, I see the scene, I see the cross, you know, it's like, there it is again.
And there's a way in which we can meet that with compassion rather than with a feeling of failure or self-judgment or self-blame. So, you know, that's the place to meet it, is that little, even if it's not so much reactivity anymore, even if you've worked through a lot of it, there's still a little bit of that. And, you know, to meet that, just meet that with compassion. Yeah. Thank you for sharing that. Irv.
First of all, I was very touched by that. I don't know how I would react. But while the discussion was going on, I realized something, and that is in recent years, I have actually increased the awareness of two in me. And it isn't that I neglect, that is, the first person has neglected the person who's the nudge. And it just occurred to me that that's the person that's really suffering.
Which?
The nudge.
Oh, yes.
The other person, the yes. other person knows how to deal with the situation if he's sufficiently aware. He can let go. But the nudge doesn't know how. And therefore the nudge needs some help mm-hmm. from the other person. Not to push him away, but to show some kind of understanding of his pain. Mm-hmm. And it reminds me, I think, of the Buddha when it was in his last stages, and I don't know the exact thing that happened, but it was like the Mara was approaching, and there were these birds or something attacking him, or beginning to attack him in his cabin. And he opened the door to them, and when they came in, they were just love, that's all. If he showed the love, they responded that way. Even the nudge.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Yeah.
The transformative power of this exercise was just beautiful. It makes it, for me, it was like a fount of love that emanates from being in the present and reflecting on that situation, coming back to the present and finding a resolution.
That's beautiful. And I'd like to encourage you to use this for yourselves, because essentially what it's doing is it's allowing you to reflect from a Dharma perspective on your situation. And it sounds like there was a lot of learning that happened during this reflection. A lot of wisdom came up in your own minds. And that's what this kind of reflection is meant to support. So there's a place, this is a piece that I wanted to encourage, there's a place for this kind of active reflection in our meditative practice. Now, it's not so much thinking about, I hope you all got that sense, that it's not so much thinking about the situation. What should I have done? What did he do? What did she do? How should I have responded? Why didn't I respond that way? So it's not that so much. It's mostly bringing up that situation and coming into the present moment and seeing what happens. And a lot of wisdom comes out of that process. So it's a really beautiful beautiful exploration. So we only have about 5 minutes, but I want to just hear if there were any questions that came up. I just like to hear kind of the range of questions that came up, and we'll potentially, address some of these in coming weeks. So Robert, I'm going to take notes.
So, thank you. This was a great exercise. And a question that I would have and that many people have asked me is, they go through the steps of mindfulness, as we just did, and then they come to a place of, like this woman described, this place of emptiness or this place of not knowing. And of course, if they continue to apply mindfulness, they can see the desire to want to know, the movement towards wanting to know, the aversion towards not knowing, and so on and so forth. But even after doing that, they're left with this sense of not knowing, this sense of same place. And so it's a point at which one can become exasperated or give up or any number of things. So in the exercise tonight, I found myself at that very point, and I'm not sure it's a new discovery, but it was reinforced that by just being there and continuing to apply mindfulness, it didn't make it go away, but I discovered that I could be with something that I thought I couldn't be with before and that I would just instinctively bolt from because it was it's too uncomfortable. But I don't know if it's just doing it over and over again or if there is some answer that can be given to people when they get to this place of I don't know what it is. I just can't break through this, and it still hurts.
So I have a talk on not knowing. Have I done that? I don't think I've done that either. Maybe I'll give that in a few weeks. It's an exploration around this.
Make sure I know when you're going to do that.
So that's a good one. Okay, any other questions that came up? No other questions? I was counting on you to give me my themes for Dharma Talks for the next few weeks.
I've got another one.
Okay.
Questions. So also in a process like this, one can begin to have access to more and more layers of what's actually going on. And sometimes, in my own experience, it can come so quickly that it's hard to keep track of it, and the actual speed will throw me off.
What do you mean by throw you off?
What I mean is that I'm beginning to see things too quickly, it's like I don't have time for it to register or to get comfortable with it. And so rather than just allowing the experience to unfold, my mind...
It's kind of reaching back and trying to figure out the layers.
It's trying to understand it or something. Mm-hmm. And so I have to be careful to just let mindfulness be mindful and not to have the mind come in and play it. But it's tricky. It's dicey territory because it happens so fast. That
Okay, it's 9 o'clock, so we need to stop. I hope this was helpful, and I may do it again from time to time because it seems like a useful kind of exploration, and maybe it will prompt some questions. So thank you.